First Kings. Look at Solomon and the Queen of Sheba during the Sunday School hour. And we'll save the hellfire and brimstone for the next hour.
Usually the people that come just for the 11 o'clock hour
are much more in need of that. But anyhow, we all need judgment preaching, amen? And let's pray that God direct. It's hard to know what to preach sometimes, what to teach. There's so much in the Word, and yet, there are timing. Lord, give us the right message for the right people who are going to be there at the right time, so you just pray that the Lord lead you. This is 1 Kings chapter 10. And this is a beautiful, wonderful story and a wonderful picture. The whole portion here is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Solomon in all of his glory was like Jesus. Is, was, and shall be. And we can get some real nuggets of truth, and then also to encourage us along the way in our walk for the Lord. Chapter 10, telling about the Queen of Sheba coming, and I trust it will be a help to us. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to spend time in the Bible every week, every day, that we might be steadfast, unmovable, that we might be fruitful, that we may learn to be faithful. I pray, Father, that thy Holy Spirit would help us to win others to Christ. Help us to see we can't help others unless we're strong ourselves. In prayer, in the Word, faithful to God's house and the things of God that we know. So bless, Father, meet the needs of those that are here this morning, the Sunday school hour, and then the preaching hour to follow. Bless all the Sunday school classes where our children are. May they hear about the Lord Jesus and the wonderful words of God from the Bible. May they be encouraged and brought to Christ if they're not saved yet. If they are saved, to be challenged to go on and to serve thee with all their heart. We pray for the new class, the teen class. You bless it this morning. Have your way there. Direct. May we just be thankful that we can be here this morning. Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, it says in verse 1 of chapter 10, it says, and when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train and with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had heard all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and the ascent by which he went up into the house, unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do justice and judgment, judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram, that brought gold from Ophrah, which brought in from Ophrah great plenty of almond trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almond trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also and psalteries for singers. There came no such almond trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went her to her own country, she and her servants. Now, we also see the synoptic to this, we could call it anyhow, over in 2 Chronicles 9, 1 through 12. You read, and it's almost an identical account. Almost everything is just exact. And the thing is, I want to bring up, is we see it twice, and especially in verse 1, it says, what? And when the queen of Sheba heard, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People get saved by the word of God, and your faith is increased only by the word of God. Praying does not increase your faith. I don't believe it does. Praying gives you power to exercise what you already know, but your strength comes from the word of God. Faith comes by. I think it was one of the men of God, he said he was praying for faith. And one day it was like the Lord, he had his Bible open in front of him, praying for faith. And it was like the light just of God just shone from the sun right there. And he was reading the verse, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's saying, you want your faith increased? Get in the word. People cannot have faith in Jesus Christ who do not know about Jesus Christ. They have to hear the word. And we as believers, you got to get in the Bible. You say, well, I just can't make myself read the Bible. Well, you'll never be a strong Christian. That's all. You must hear and read the word of God. By the way, if you couldn't read or write, then you better get some tapes. We have those today. And you better be in church all the time. If a person couldn't read or write, I think everybody can today. But I couldn't believe when I came down to my wife's home, North Carolina, from Buffalo, New York, and boy, there were people all over the place couldn't read or write. And you know what? Some of them were preachers, though. And they learned how to read from their wife reading the Bible to them. Some of them, they'd read it, and then they'd get up and preach. Couldn't read it themselves. And someone would read the scriptures, and then they preach. You ever hear that on the radio sometimes? I hear that. And someone would read a couple of verses, and then the preacher would preach. Well, that type of preaching might have been done because the preacher couldn't read. Well, I tell you, let someone else read it, amen? Then you just tell what it says. And there's no excuse today. We have tapes, we have everything. And if a person couldn't read or write, they ought to be in God's house and find other revival meetings and go and hear all they can. Hear the word of God. So you better get in the Bible. And here she heard of this great fame of Solomon, way off in the queen of Sheba. She was from Sheba, and she comes all this great distance with a very great train. And you know what a train is? This is a train of camels and spices and gold and all the attendants and the nobles and everything. Isn't that something? That's the same thing that happened with Jesus. The kings came from the east, the great distance. They saw his star in the east. What? They'd heard that this one was going to be born. It doesn't say how they heard, but somehow they heard that Jesus was going to be born, the king of the Jews. And they saw the star, and they came that great distance. And what'd they bring? Spices. And they brought gold. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so here they come. And here, what? Queen of Sheba comes from this long distance to hear of the greatness of Jesus. Amen? Well, Solomon. And he's a type of the Lord, amen, I believe here. And she comes a great distance with a great number of people, and she wanted to find out if it's true. And by the way, the only way to get saved is to experience it. Amen? You can hear all you want. You have to come and see. Amen? Is that what took place? They said, is there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Wasn't it Nathaniel said? He said, come and see. Come and see. John chapter 1. The answer is come and see. We had to do. You hear the word of God, but you have to experience the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she heard all this. And by the way, we need to extol the greatness of God to our children. Why do children need to be in Sunday school? Why do you need to be in Sunday school? Because everyone else is making little of God. We need to make much of our Creator. Amen. Everybody else taking Jesus' name in vain, just about. And we need to be exalting his name, praising his name. So here she hears about this, and she comes to prove him with hard questions. Now, Jesus has all the answers to all your questions. And the Bible has all the answers to all your questions. You say it doesn't spell it out in black and white. The principles are all there. Everything, the principles are in the Word. And some things are spelled out real plainly, and people just haven't seen them yet. for instance, some of them say, well, did God write that book? Yeah, he did. He wrote some of it with his own finger on Mount Sinai. That's what God wrote. The Ten Commandments, his own finger. And then he took other men's hands, amen? I believe in dictation.
I went to school, they said they could verbal inspiration.
The Bible doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God.
Right, right.
And I believe with old Dr. John Rice, I believe it was dictated. Much of what the men wrote, they didn't even understand. Now, some of that, they did understand. But much of it, they didn't understand. Now, that had to be dictated if they didn't know what they're writing about. Amen?
I just believe God dictated this whole book.
And some say, well, by the way, they say, well, how come Paul wrote in this high Greek and Peter's writing? Oh, he was crude.
They say if you could read in the Greek that Peter wrote, it's terrible. He was an unlearned, ignorant fisherman.
And he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. But they say you look at Paul's Greek and it's just an unbelievable difference from Peter. Or you read the book of Hebrews, it's so beautiful. I'm talking about if you read in the original language. Well, the thing is, don't you think? And then they say, well, isn't that? And then what about Paul? Luke wrote in medical terms. Well, don't you think God would talk to Luke in medical terms? He wouldn't talk to stupid Peter, eh, man? Old ignorant fisherman. He talked to him in fisherman's language. Say, write it down this way. People are so stupid.
Hey, man, I mean, you couldn't use those big words with Peter. He'd be, Lord, say it again. I didn't get it, amen.
I couldn't even write the word if I wanted to. How do you spell it? Man alive. I took some English. I know what I'm talking about. I mean, some people in that class knew it so much better than me, the English, that they should have been teaching me, amen. And they were in the class. And other ones, boy, they had worse trouble than I did. That's what I believe, though. I believe God gave them. That's why we have the difference, high Greek and whatever you call it. And that's why you have the different words. Surely God would speak to him in those words. But it's the Word of God that brings us faith. It's the Word of God. We must hear the Word. Then we must come and experience salvation. You say, what is salvation? Listen, it's a mystery, isn't it? It really is. I mean, it's wonderful. You can talk about it, but really, I've been saved for 30-some years, and salvation is an experience with God. It's when God comes and takes residence in your heart and cleanses you and washes you, and it's by simple faith in Christ. Explain it? I don't think we can. We can talk about it, how wonderful it is, but salvation is the gift of God, and it's a miracle. And there's some things about a miracle you just can't explain. And yet you can experience them. And so it's hard questions. Jesus has all the answers to all our questions and all our problems. We're in 1 Kings 10, verse 1, going on to verse 2. As the Queen of Sheba came with all these hard questions and many problems, the things she wanted to have answers to, Solomon had all the answers, and Jesus has all the answers. And then it says, she came with all these things, and look at the last part of verse 2. She communed with him of all that was in her heart. You know why she got her answer to her questions? She was very open with the Lord. I mean, with Solomon. We need to be open with God, open with Christ. See, she came, and she really wanted to know. She didn't believe. It says, by the way, the thing that damns people to hell is unbelief. And look what she says in verse 7. Howbeit, I believe not. She said, I heard all these things, and I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. And that's what salvation is. It's beyond our comprehension, all that goes along with this wonderful saving grace. And you can explain it to a lost person. I've explained salvation to a lost person who really has no understanding, and it's just like, have you ever done that? Talk to someone and tried to explain to them how wonderful it is to be saved and what salvation is. And sometimes you just know the Lord's saying some other time. They're just not there. There is just nothing. They are dead in trespasses and sin. There's no light. They don't understand one thing you're talking about because it's spiritual. And they're carnal. They're fleshly. Salvation is wonderful. She said, I didn't believe when I was in my own country. And I had to come and find out for myself. And let me say, that's the answer, is to come and see. And faith comes by hearing. She didn't believe. And that's what hinders us from serving God. That's what hinders us from being faithful to church. I think the reason we're all here this morning is way down deep. Somehow we heard it's right to go to church. I mean, you have to go to work. You don't get your paycheck. But you don't have to be here this morning. Amen. You just heard from your parents, or God put it in your heart, that you should serve, you should honor God with your time. And by the way, how'd you learn that? Someone, because they were saved, they knew the Lord, and what? They trained their children. The influence of others. And so here we go on about the acts. Look, she came with him and communed with all that was in her heart. Then look at verse 3. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king. Boy, there's nothing hid from Jesus. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, beholding the evil and the good. Now listen, that's beyond us, even that I just said, because the Bible says his eyes are too pure to behold evil and sin. Wickedness. There'll be no sin in heaven. And yet God sees everything. See, what it's saying is God knows everything. But in his presence, you won't be able to stand in his presence if you have wickedness and sin and it's not covered by the blood of Christ. You're not saved by his grace. But God, God sees everything. Nothing is hid from the eyes of him with whom we have to do, the Bible says. And so that ought to be a shaking thing. That means when people, by the way, our girls were out here doing the church last night, and I said to Lynn and Patty, I said, I don't know, I just don't like you out here at the church at night, cleaning the church. It was the first time they did it at night. We tried to get Lynn to do it earlier when she should have done it, but she said, I like to work at night. Well, she's like, oh, I didn't wash me work in the daytime. More meanness goes on at night. People going up and down this thing every Saturday night. I said, when we come out here, men for prayer, there's always teenagers going up and down here, and more meanness going on. More evil goes on at night. I mean, I know there's things that go on during the daytime, but 5, 10, 15, 20, 100 times more wickedness goes on at night. And so I told her, you just have to clean the church during the daytime. If you're tired or not, or whatever, that's what it's going to be. And I don't want you out there. And even there are two of them out here, I still don't like it. Too much wickedness. We're children of the day, amen? And the devil's crowd, the children of the night. And God sees everything. You can say, well, I did something last week or last month or last year and nobody saw me. God saw you. And that ought to trouble us because we're going to meet God one day. So you're not going to stand before this preacher in judgment. Now, he did say he's going to commit into our hands judgment. You're going to stand before the Lord God of heaven for sure. Everything you've ever done or ever said. Boy, that's an awesome thing. So we ought to be careful. We ought to be careful how we talk about other Christians when they're not around. My father used to say, and he wasn't even saved. My father said, if you haven't got anything good to say, Jack, don't say anything. Well, the truth to that. He wasn't even saved in more sense than some Christian. Huh? About that. I mean, we ought to be careful what we say. We're going to give account, what Scripture says, for every idle word. Some fellow who knew Greek said that means every non-productive word. That's awesome. And we're supposed to be doing unto others we'd have them do unto us, so we'll talk good about other people. Amen? We want someone talking good about us, not trying to find our faults. I don't have any, do you? I'm a man alive. I'd be in trouble to try to just find fault with me all the time. Go ask my wife. She'll tell you, it'd take you a long time to hear it all. Amen? Oh, we're all so perfect. But I tell you, the truth of the matter is we're so imperfect, we need to make sure that we talk good. Hey, our tongue is our problem. What's in your heart and in your head comes out of your mouth. That's why all these people go around cursing God all the time. That's why you have to put up with all that vile language over at work. That's in their heart. And it comes out of their mouth. You say, yeah, what are they saying? They're saying nothing but a bunch of garbage and foolishness and trash, and they don't even make sense. That's right. That's what's in their heart. They're not right with God, man, nothing. They are just void, empty. They're carnal. They're worldly. They can't please God at all. And that's the proof of it is what comes out of their mouth. May we use our mouth for the Lord. That's why we need to be praying more. It says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God.
I'm sorry, sis, you can be around some people, and you're not around in 5 minutes. You know they think that
they're the greatest thing that walked in on this earth, that ever was born, created. I mean, you don't have to be there 5 minutes, and they'll tell you how good they are, how wonderful they are. When I used to be on deputation way back in the 70s, before somebody was born, probably. But anyhow, I remember that the preachers at that time, the thing was to have a big church. You know, it was super church aid. Every church was building. They didn't have any money, but they sold all these bonds, and they were building these huge, big buildings. And I walk in there, and the preacher said, "Would you like to see the church?" And I after a while, I felt like saying, "I've got to see the prayer room. Let's go pray." I want to see your big church. Half of them went bankrupt if they showed me a big anyhow. You know what I mean? Who cares about buildings?
People get saved, man, I'll run down there with you. Amen.
Who cares about buildings? And nice, that would be for the glory of God. But God lives in me. Amen. People should live in buildings. The Shekinah glory used to be in that temple, but now what? Know you not that your body is the temple. You know why we ought to think clean thoughts? Our body's the temple. Do you think clean thoughts? Do you do good deeds? What do you spend all your time doing? Something for someone else? The Bible says you can't give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name and not get a reward for it. You ought to be doing something for someone else. All right? And look what it says about all thy acts. She was open with the Lord and what? And it says here Solomon told her all these things, everything she needed. And look what it said, the meat of his table and the sitting, verse 5, of his servants and the attendance of his ministers. Can you see her come down there? And she's seeing all this, the ministers, the attendants, the servants. We are nothing but servants of the Lord. She saw the provisions. She saw the servants. She saw the ministers. She saw the dress, their apparel. She saw their attitude toward the house of God.
His ascent to the house of God.
Isn't that amazing what was said there in the beginning, the first verse? It says here, I heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. They ought to hear about the greatness of Jesus. In our walk, we ought to be like Solomon. They ought to hear about how great our Savior is. How great His salvation is. All that guy talks about is Jesus. Well, we don't have anyone else to talk about. Huh? All he talks about is getting saved. Well, what is it? That's the greatest thing in the world, get saved. So we ought to be talking about the greatest thing, not the minute things and the insignificant things we ought to talk about. You know, we ought to do like Dr. Bob Sr. said, major on the major and minor on the minors. Spend all your time talking about frivolous, foolish things. Talk about Jesus. Talk about what He did for you. Tell people how He saved you. How He's going to take you to heaven. How He'll wash their sins away. Boy, it'll make you feel better. If they get mad at you, it'll make you feel good. Isn't that wonderful how God does that? As you witness, it does you as much good as it does them. I mean, it does you good to talk about how good God did for you. And so here she does this, and she said, the half hasn't been told. And then let me just close out with this. It says, she gave to Solomon, down in verse 10. We ought to give to the Lord. When we really get saved, we want to give to God. We love Him so much, we want to give our whole paycheck to God. That's right. That's the way we'll be. We won't think it hard to serve God in giving. And then you know what? Jesus gave to her. Solomon gives to her, and Jesus gives to us. Verse 13, and King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire. You know, as you give to the Lord, boy, He'll give back to you all your desires, and He'll give you your, He'll make it just the thrill of your heart. Whatever. So we ought to just put Jesus first. Help us, Lord, to love as we should. We pray that You'd help. Now bless the preaching hour to follow. Have Your way. Make us love Jesus better.